Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's a Roadshow Thursday with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal, as we are staring at the greatest show on dirt billboard just to the back of the outfield at TD Ameritrade Park. We are on 13th and Cummings, just a foul ball from Junior Schmidt away from the gates of TD Ameritrade Park. We are here with our friends from Blur Parties, and what a glorious day for baseball in the state of Nebraska with the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers set to go tonight at 7 o'clock. Welcome in. A big show planned for you, and big thanks to our friends at Blur, as the tailgate they've got going right now is a marvelous corporate event. They want to know that you're there for them when it comes to the College World Series when it gets kicked off Saturday, and can go to blurparties.com, get your passes. They have brats behind me. They have hamburgers behind me. They've got a giant smoker oven that is phenomenal. They have flat screens behind me and a bunch of tables on top of whiskey barrels set up for your enjoyment. It's 74. It's sunny. And I'm staring at a hammock and a cold tub, and they have a full bar if you're interested in that. You can join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Tigers, Royals tonight. Get rolling at 7. A lot of folks in blue wandering around. That is going to be outstanding. 20 minutes away, we will talk to Uncle Jerry. Coach Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, will join us, get his thoughts on the Big Ten coaching cluster, as well as the quarterback situation, as now we're 11 Saturdays away from college football. In hour two, longtime member of the Kansas City media, has covered the Royals, has covered the College World Series. And is Mr. College Football Blair Kirchhoff going to be with us at 5:05? And then our dear friend Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We'll talk all things Huskers with Vogues. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Can follow me on Twitter at Schmidt_radio. Can find Colton on Twitter, and to do so at Two Birds, One Stone. And Elijah's a good follow as well. Elijah Herbal at Herbal Essences on Twitter. So, Colton, I you weren't in yesterday. Before we get into some coaching talk in the Big Ten, and first and foremost, what tonight means for the state of Nebraska, what is in that green gunk you drink? I've given you crap about your magic shake, but I had a listener email me, and he's like, well, what's in Colton's shake? It's like, I don't know if it's from Boulder. I don't know if it's from Cali. You've given the ingredients before. Do so again, because we love all of our listeners. It's not quite requesting 24-karat magic. We don't play music here. So jump on. Tell me what the hell's in that concoction you're probably sipping right now.
Well, I don't have one with me right now. I actually ate like real food today, instead of just putting it all in a blender. And
I'm gonna eat 40 brats.
Put it all in a blender, and you'll think you ate less. I promise. Fruit, spinach, frozen fruit, fresh fruit, doesn't matter. I put a pack of oatmeal in it, almond milk, fruit juice, ice, some cinnamon, and protein powder.
Okay, that's the layout.
And peanut butter.
And peanut butter.
Yeah.
Like a giant glob of peanut butter?
I mean, it obviously gets blended in there, but yeah, probably about a big spoon of it.
Well, Brian sent an email, and Brian's like, what the hell's in Colton's hippie concoction? Like, I don't think Colton's a hippie, but you know, you are doing your smoothie thing, so good on you. Okay, let's talk about coaches and the Big Ten. Are we done shedding tears that there's no Urban Meyer in 2019? Good. Okay, we had a moment of silence there. I'm interested to know where you're at as a football fan when it comes to the Big Ten and the coaches. The reason the league's getting so much respect is because, first and foremost, they've won and performed well. You've had teams that are traditional powers rise up. You've had kind of afterthoughts or teams that had been struggling beat some of the haves, okay? That's a Purdue. Iowa is always around that 8-4, 9-3-ish, right? They've gone away from the 4-8 backdrop. It's been 5-6 years since they've gone 4-8. I hate saying that. And they've beaten Ohio State. They've almost beaten Penn State. They've beaten Michigan. They have handled their business well at Kinnick. People don't want to go play there. The next step for Nebraska is to get that big win against marquee blue blood opponent at home. It's been a long time since you've rock and rolled. Michigan State, right? The playoff Michigan State. But that seems eons ago. So let's play this game of head coaches in the Big Ten. Who you drafting first? And we've got to put the disclaimer out there that Scott Frost is off the table. Because I think this would be a very short conversation if it was. And maybe not. But I think it'd be a very short conversation if Frost was available to be picked first. I think Nebraska fans no doubt would say, give me Coach Frost, even over guys that have a little more history and a little more seasoning and a few more wins over ranked opponents. But Frost is right up there and is second place to nobody with what he did at Central Florida and how Nebraska finished last year. So CBS Sports came out, and we'll get Jerry Donato's thoughts on this. When it comes to ranking the coaches, let's descend in order, all right? Let's go from 14 to 1 because we're going in reverse order. The last kid picked on the playground for dodgeball will be the first name you hear now. Chris Ash at Rutgers, great recruiter, very good position coach, is in a no-win situation. He comes in last right now because homeboy's going 2-10 every year and he'll probably have a for sale sign in Piscataway here next November. Mike Locksley, good coordinator, didn't go so well against Clemson, didn't run the ball enough, but he's another one of the Saban assistants to get the jump from a coordinator spot to head coach. Maryland with Durkin is loaded with talent. They have smacked Texas twice, and they have suffered major quarterback injuries the last two seasons. They're dangerous. It won't be fun. It'll be more than just crab cakes and football when Nebraska heads out there to end the year. By that point in the year, we'll see if Maryland's done or if they're dangerous. Tom Allen is in at number 12. Indiana's a pain in the neck squad. We've spent plenty of time talking about that. Lovie Smith comes in at number 11 when it comes to CBS Sports's rankings of coaches in the Big Ten, and we're going Urban's gone. Who's filling that void? Who do you take as head coach in the Big Ten? Who do you think is best at what they do when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to winning and winning big games? We've taken Frost off the table because he's the hometown favorite. I think Lovie is recruiting well. Lovie will not get to see this thing through. I don't believe he's another 3-9 or 4-8 season. Ryan Day comes in at 10. Is that too low, too high, just right? And that's a difficult conversation because Ryan Day did have his audition. Ryan Day did go 3-0. Ryan Day did go in Jerry World against TCU. TCU ended up being massively overrated, but that game was nip and tuck. We'll see where he ends up. PJ Fleck is in at 9. There's a love-hate relationship with Fleck. You ask somebody about Fleck, someone will say, oh, I love him. I love his energy. I love his row the boat. He's a very thorough guy. I'll say this about Fleck, and I think he's kind of a goofball, man. He would sell you a car, and you'd drive off the lot. Remember the movie Used Cars? Kurt Russell was in it. If you haven't seen it, it's an oldie but a goodie. And the minute these folks drive off the gravel used car lot, all four tires fall off. Like the second they cross off of the dealer's lot, all four tires fall off. You hate it now, wait till you drive it, right? Fleck is going to shake your hand and grab your wallet. That's what I feel about the guy from a genuine standpoint. I think he's a motivator, though. And he came from the MAC, which means he got leftovers from the Michigan schools. He got leftovers from the Ohio schools. He got leftovers from even the Minnesotas, right? And he has done a decent job. He also inherited a program that I thought was very, very strong with Tracy Clays and, of course, what Jerry Kill did. Jerry Kill had Minnesota winning 8 games and physically punishing some of the best of the best. So I think Fleck in at number 9 is too low. I think he is probably a top 6 coach. Jeff Brohm comes in at 8. CBS Sports has Frost at 7. I think that's too low. Paul Chryst is in at 6. I know Chryst is 34-7. Chryst has inherited a lot. I still think Wisconsin's going to be a 9-10 win team most years, but I don't believe he's elite. Kirk Ferentz, begrudgingly, that guy just knows how to develop and build. He has got some big wins, some big pelts on that pink wall in the locker room. Him at 5. Pat Fitzgerald at 4. Harbaugh 3. D'Antonio 2. And James Franklin, I have a major disagreement with in at number 1. I don't like James Franklin's management. I think James Franklin's recruiting's pretty good. I think James Franklin did a hell of a job of walking into a situation set up by Coach O'Brien when it comes to Saquon Barkley and some of those wideouts and some of the defenders. Larry Johnson Sr. was still at Penn State when James Franklin showed up. And that's your difference. Penn State's been great on the defensive line of scrimmage for a long time. If I'm re-ranking these, and Scott Frost is off the table, who's the best coach in the Big Ten right now? I'm not going to make a quick snap decision and say Brohm is there, even though he's kind of the flavor of the month. I'm going to go D'Antonio. Again, Frost is off the table if I'm ranking coaches, because D'Antonio's done it. And he's beaten Ohio State, and he's beaten Harbaugh, and I know they struggled last year. He's also done it with little depth. He's had 2 pretty injury-plagued seasons. The problem is they kind of need to get back to their blue-collar mentality, and I think they have that with this year's team. The Connor Cooks of the world were very good, were very flashy, were talented. They went 13-1, and won a Rose Bowl. They also went and won at Ohio State to clinch a playoff berth, the first Big Ten team to do it. So I know that's a couple, 3 years removed, and you've had some 8-4s and 7-5s with Sparty. But I'm going to give D'Antonio the nod. I think Harbaugh's in at 2. I would put Fitzgerald at 3. I would put Ferentz at 4. And I would put Brohm at 5. I would put Fleck at 6. And then after that, I would probably throw Day at 7. Everywhere else, doesn't matter. Throw it against the wall. It is what it is. Again, that's with Scott Frost off the table. If you had any other coach in the Big Ten to pick, who would you take? Would it be a Harbaugh? Would it be a D'Antonio? Would it be a Fleck? Would it be a Paul Chryst? And I guess for your money, from a development standpoint, Kirk Ferentz has done a wonderful job of sending guys to the NFL, putting guys in position to be good on the lines of scrimmage, and beating teams that are in the top 3 or ranked number 2 when the opportunity presents itself. I just think Iowa could do more, and they haven't. They always get the big win, but they don't have the dream season. They've had one, but they've not stacked them. It's been pretty sporadic. With Scott Frost in Nebraska, sky's the limit for him. You have the ESPN Power Football Index that is out. That has come up. We'll talk with Coach DiNardo about that. Hail Varsity on the road today. We're just across the street from the gates of TD Ameritrade Park in front of the Royals and the Tigers. Major League Baseball tonight here in the great state of Nebraska. Excited for that. Coach DiNardo coming up. Blair Kirkhoff on the way. And Coach DiNardo in about 5 minutes. Want to spend a minute here on the Royals. Want to spend a minute here on what this means for Nebraska. It's the first Major League Baseball game in the state of Nebraska. Yes, ESPN is here to broadcast the game, and baseball tonight's on site. And the Royals Radio Network is going to crush it as always. You can hear that tonight over on sister station KFOR locally in Lincoln, and some of our affiliates across the Hale Varsity Network have that as well. But this is just an amazing showcase. You have the showcase of the state of Nebraska. You have the showcase of TD Ameritrade, which is absolutely fantastic. And it's a statement to the rest of the country just how great the state of Nebraska is. You know about Nebraska football. You see the showcase, obviously, with the College World Series every year and the facility of TD Ameritrade. But Major League Baseball said, you know what, this place is pretty special. We're going to come do a ball game. Let's hope it's the first of many years to come to coincide with the start of the College World Series, where Major League Baseball partners with college baseball to get this thing kicked off right. And when you do, you know, I want to say thanks again to our friends at Blur, blurparties.com. You're coming up for the College World Series. You got to get to blurparties.com. Food and drink, get your ticket purchased. They've got a cold tub, for God's sake. It's extremely impressive. They have food and drink. The brats are on the grill. I'm a happy guy. I'm going to go feed my face for a minute, and we'll talk with Coach DiNardo. Big Ten Network is on the way. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel. And we'll be back in a moment here on the road. Roadshow Thursday, just out front. The Blur Party Tent right next to TD Ameritrade. Come say hi with Hale Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hale Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Welcome back. Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel. Lexi was kind enough to get me up to Omaha today. Some of us blew a tire, and it was not pretty. Lexi is up here at Blur Parties. We're just outside the gate of TD Ameritrade Park. The greatest show on dirt gets rolling on Saturday. Blurparties.com is where you need to go. They are your headquarters to get rolling for college baseball. The Royals and Tigers tonight. We say hi to a baseball fan and football analyst and coach with the Big Ten Network, Coach Jerry DiNardo, with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Hey, before we get started, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you. Is that okay to do on air?
Do it. What'd I do?
Remember I asked you when the official date was that most people thought Nebraska joined the Big Ten?
I said June 10th, didn't I?
Yeah, and that's what I used on Twitter, and I got a little bit of pushback. Just in case there's a big controversy, I just don't want you to get in the middle of it like I did.
So you took one for the team. What's the day?
Well, some people say it was 9 years. I got two or three different answers, actually. But I held my ground. I waited until now to kind of throw you under the bus because I thought there'd be a lot more people listening than follow me on Twitter.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think I got the date wrong because it was June 10th. It was a Friday. Commissioner Delaney was on East Campus. I ambushed him, and he came on the radio the next day. Bless his heart. I remember it. So I think it was June. I think it was June 10th, 2010.
That's what I used. I'm sticking with it. So I just want you to know.
Hey, I will never intentionally feed you wrong information. So I want to get into a topic that is kind of wearing Nebraska fans out recently, because there's been two issues with marijuana in the last 10 days. Two players, one for paraphernalia, one for possession. And, Coach, I want your perspective. You are in touch with coaches now that are coaching in 2019. You also ran three different programs. Is it a losing battle, tough battle for today's college football coach to keep kids away from marijuana?
No, that's not the battle, though, Chris. And I don't have time to explain to you all the experience I have with this, so you're going to have to trust me on this, okay?
I will.
So I grew up in the day and age where basically this is the drug policy and this is what most people use. If you get positive once for drugs, go to counseling. twice, you get suspended for a certain amount of percentage of your games. Third, you're usually dismissed, okay? I have come to this conclusion that that's a very punitive way to approach drug abuse and drug use, especially on college campuses. What I would like to see people consider is to tell the players, no more surprise tests. Tell the players when you're going to test for drugs. If a person is tested once, if you want to enter them in counseling, that's fine. Twice, it's okay. When a student-athlete is tested three times positive and he knows when the test was coming, we have a problem, okay? That is not a recreational user. If you tell me that I can't do something and I do it, and I do it repeatedly, this is when the young people need us. There is a drug addiction epidemic in our country. Our rosters reflect our country. In fact, our rosters reflect all aspects of our country, especially the young people. So to think that we're immune to drug addiction because we play football is not true. Casual use, it's legal in Colorado. We can fight about whether it's good for you or bad for you. We can say, I have a martini, you have a joint, what's the difference? I mean, we can go through all those silly arguments and just waste our time. Or we can say, how could we find out if a student under my care has an addiction problem? And I say the answer is, tell them we're going to test them. Tell him and her we're going to test you when we're going to test it. And if they're positive three times, then we have a problem. I say keep them on scholarship, keep them part of the team, but they can't play. And let's address their addiction. Let's find out who is addicted, not who's using.
Coach, that's a good setup with really, if you can't stay away to pass the test, you are addicted to it. Jerry DiNardo is with us, Hale Varsity Radio. We're here at the Blur Parties outside TD Ameritrade Park. And you just run into an issue, Coach, with the recreational and casual use, but your concern from being a father figure to hundreds of kids year after year after year, you've had to deal with it. And is there an instance, you don't have to give a name, where it crushed you, it hurt you? I mean, it's not easy to deal with, where you had to dismiss a kid that just couldn't stop it. Or did you keep a kid on the team that you knew was battling some demons to try and get him straightened out?
Well, all of the above. I mean, there was a very high-profile running back that played for me. It's a public story, but I still don't feel comfortable mentioning his name. He was dismissed from the team. But that was under the old system. I wish I had the knowledge I have now, back when I was at LSU. Then that player, I wouldn't have forced him to be dismissed because it was three times. I would have said, you can practice, you can't play in the games, and we are going to address your addiction, whether it's inpatient, outpatient. We're going to address your addiction. I also drove one of my players to rehab one day in Baton Rouge, and it did help him. This wasn't about penalizing him. This was that he came to me, I have a problem, and I took him to a place in Baton Rouge. More recently, there was a very high-profile player in the Big Ten that was suspended for the Rose Bowl. And here's the crux of the issue. He was a senior, so he must have tested at least three times positive. I'm not sure what the school's policy was. But my point is, he's a senior. He's leaving now. We can't help him. If he was positive enough times as a freshman or a sophomore, then he could have played in his senior Rose Bowl, perhaps, because he would have been fighting his addiction. Addiction is a disease like cancer is a disease. It's not going away. You have it the rest of your life. And so what our job is to identify who has a drug addiction problem. We're not police. We didn't get into coaching to be in law enforcement where we bust somebody for possession. That's not what we do. We try to keep people under our care, and when they leave our care, they're better than when they came under our care. And I suggest my policy, get the three as quick as possible so we know you have an addiction, is a better policy.
Jerry DiNardo with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter is where you follow Coach. Coach, thanks for the honesty and insight on this topic. want to switch gears, and you have coaches and they're ranking out. CBS Sports has put out their list of coaches in the Big Ten. And who do you think? We just had a segment, and I took Scott Frost off the table. Who would you put as the number one coach in the Big Ten? Urban's gone. Who's filling his shoes? Scott's off the table because Nebraska fans love Frost, and Frost has done a hell of a job at Central Florida and a good finish to last year. Coach, I'm not going to make you pick a favorite unless you want to, but give me a coach that each year you're surprised by or you're wowed by. Not because you think less of somebody, but more so because they just continually keep amazing you. What coach or couple of coaches out there in the Big Ten, and it's a really good league with coaches that you are constantly impressed by?
Well, you know, there's obviously more than one. This is a tricky question for me, but I'm going to answer it the best I can. I look at what James Franklin did in his third year at Penn State, coming off probation, he won the Big Ten championship. I think that's extraordinary. You look at Paul Chryst at Wisconsin. He's always in the Western Division hunt. They took a little step back. I think we're going to find out more about Paul Chryst as we go forward than as we look back, because I think the West has gotten tougher. Paul's job has gotten tougher. He's still in an offense that perhaps could be outdated. What Mark D'Antonio has done on a consistent basis, he's been the only other team in the Big Ten, other than Ohio State, that has made the college football playoffs. I think what he's done to Michigan State, he will leave as the winningest coach in Michigan State history. That's an extraordinary label. Kirk Ferentz is already the most winning coach in University of Iowa history. So I think anytime you put someone in that, I think Mark will be in the Hall of Fame, and I think Kirk Ferentz will be in the Hall of Fame. And now I'm trying to go through this as fast as I can, so I don't. I think what Paul Fitzgerald has done, this is one of the rare cases, and I know that y'all are hoping it's going to happen in Lincoln, but this is one of the rare cases when you go home, meaning Pat Fitzgerald went to Northwestern and has done an unbelievable job. Going home is not always a good experience. In fact, more times than not, it's not a good experience. I think we all thought it would be for Pat, and I think we all think it'll be for Scott, but it's not automatic. And having answered that question in my head is when I hang up the phone, and if I forgot somebody, I'm going to feel terrible. But those are the guys that come to the top of my head with that answer, that question.
I think your point on Franklin, Coach, is right on with what he did in year three, with what Penn State was facing. I think Fitzgerald's consistency is impressive at Northwestern. And to be honest with you, D'Antonio was the guy I circled, is I think the top coach in the Big Ten because of what he's done, who he's beat, and who he's got to beat. He's got to beat Ohio State. He's an Ohio State guy, but he's also got to take down Michigan, and he's done that more times than not. And he was one in the shoe, and he's gone to the college football playoff. Got about a minute, Chryst, Coach, Chryst, and I'll let you be.
Chryst, the other thing I would say to you is when you go to Michigan State, when you go to Iowa, when you go to Northwestern, when you go to Penn State and you're at practice like I have the privilege of doing, and obviously Nebraska as well, but you took them off the table, this is what it's supposed to look like, in my opinion. There's teaching going on. There's respect for the players and for the coaches. It looks like what was invented a couple hundred years ago.
Coach, about a minute, your experience, your video on at Jerry DiNardo with Coach Osborne. How was that experience?
Well, like I ended that video, I don't know if I know I cut it up for the issue about Nebraska joining the Big 12. I have admired him for a long time, obviously. I played against Coach Devaney in Coach Devaney's last game in the Orange Bowl, and in the Miami Herald it said, unknown assistant Tom Osborne will be taking over. That's the first time I ever heard his name. Obviously competed against him in Colorado. I think I told the story more than once. When I became the head coach of Vanderbilt, I was the head coach, I was the quarterback coach, and I was the offensive coordinator. I think Tom Osborne was the only other person doing that. Even though we had a bitter rivalry between Colorado and Nebraska, I called Coach Osborne and I said, can I come to Lincoln and visit with you? I'm doing something that you've done very successfully for many years. So I've admired him forever and still do. And it was, I was honored to walk end zone to end zone with him. And I appreciate, as always, his kindness.
Coach, you're awesome. A lot of fun to talk today. Thanks for a few minutes.
See you, Chris. Thank you.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
All right, we are here at Blur Parties just outside TD Ameritrade Park. We've got lots of Royal Blue making their way in. Great to be with you on Hale Varsity. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and Elijah Erbel. We will be up here next week for the College World Series as well. That is outstanding. Big thanks to Coach DiNardo. Got serious there for a bit when it comes to college football and marijuana use. Coaches take on things when it comes to testing. Elijah, Colton, look up when Nebraska joined the Big Ten. I swear it was 2010. I think the day was June 10th. Pretty sure it was. If Coach got slapped for it because I gave him bad info, he needs to put me in a headlock and go Nolan Ryan on me. But verify that. This from Eric Olson from the Associated Press. And it's about an hour old. I did not get to it. I got mumbling on the coaching discussion. We'll get some NBA thoughts as well. But blurparties.com, where you log on and get your passes for the CWS. We're at a corporate event right now. There is Captain Morgan here. There is beer. There is brats. There are burgers. There's a cold tub. There's a hammock. Lexi's tweeting away and Facebooking away. There's a bunch of flat screens, so the U.S. Open's going on. I'm getting live updates from number 18 from Iowa, Russ, who's right there. But I mentioned Eric Olson and Alex Gordon not in the lineup tonight. Yeah, let that sink in. Some of you are on the interstate now and you are wanting to be a part of the cheering section when Alex Gordon got up to home plate. That is not happening. He is out. Ned Yost said Alex Gordon has a compressed nerve in his back from being hit by a pitch yesterday. He got shut down, and it is very, very tough because Alex, man, it's rough. This is a quote from Gordon per Eric Olson. First of all, it's unfortunate not to be in the lineup tonight. Being back in Nebraska, you want to be there for your fans and where you grew up. If it was during the season anywhere else, I wouldn't have played right now because of how my shoulder feels. Again, Alex Gordon out tonight. Has a compressed nerve in his back after he got hit by a pitch yesterday. Yost, some more on Gordon. Trust me, I had a hard time and thought long and hard about it and regret Alex can't play. It's what's best for our team and organization. To all the fans, I want to say I'm sorry. That Ned Yost on why Alex Gordon not playing tonight. Hopefully you can get him a DH opportunity tonight. But you have Major League Baseball. You have a situation with the Tigers and Royals. Both teams are sucking it right now. I mean, just sucking the tailpipe. But it is pro baseball. It is gorgeous weather. It is sun and family. And I hope to see you out here at TD Ameritrade Park. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. What'd you think of Coach DiNardo's thoughts on testing and when it comes to drug use and the, well, I want a joint. No, give me a martini. I mean, you're going to have that battle back and forth, back and forth. Some say give me both. And he's right. If you tell guys when they're tested, the NFL tells you when you're tested. And it's kind of the Randy Gregory situation where, you know, Randy had to pass like two tests, right? Randy had to pass a test before the NFL Combine didn't. And you're told when to test. Are you a recreational user or are you addicted? That's a very fair question by Coach DiNardo. Elijah, jump on here. You got a date for me?
Yeah, I do. Nebraska applied for membership of the Big Ten on June 11th, 2010.
And we officially became a member of the Big Ten on July 1st, 2011.
So I was off. Okay, so the application part of it was there. So you said June 11th, 2010, and accepted July 1st.
Well, effective July 1st. So okay. It was already, like, they replied and it was accepted. It was just...
The ladies' presser was on a June 10th. I know it was. I even shaved that day. All right. Let's get to some NBA. We'll have our predictions coming up at 5:40. And we have some thoughts on tonight's matchup from guys that are, well, going to decide it, right? You've got Curry, you've got Nick Nurse. Let's hear from Steph on the motivation tonight for Golden State. They won a game seven. They had a emotional and energetic left from KD last game, and then they found a way to gut it out in Toronto. Toronto's won all their games on the road at Oracle. Here's Steph.
This first 24 hours, there's not much you can say in terms of him going through the process, figuring out how the extent of the injury and what the roadmap's going to look like coming back. But I don't think much needs to be said about the motivation that we have or are going to have tomorrow. Like Clay said, to protect our home court, feed off our crowd's energy, play for K, and try to keep our season alive. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can kind of tap into for energy tomorrow.
That's Steph Curry. I don't worry about their motivation or energy. Listen, they're professionals. They won a championship. There's a chance this dynasty breaks up. All right? You don't know if you're going to re-sign Durant. You don't know what Durant you're going to get back if he does stay. Does Clay go be the man somewhere else? Does Draymond start wondering? You've got Boogie. You've got Bogut. You've got Iggy. Iggy's aging. I mean, you have so many incredible role pieces, and their role players remind me a lot of the Chicago Bulls, you know, double three-peat squads, where you had guys that, on their own, they were good. Some of them were all-stars, but together, with the greatest player in the world, they were unstoppable. I mean, you had Pippen and Jordan, yeah, but your role guys is your shooting guard with Paxton and Kerr. You had Rodman. You had Cartwright. You had B.J. Armstrong. You had Ron Harper. Ron Harper took less money and said, you know what, I've had my time going two games over 500 in Cleveland. Let me join Chicago and be a role guy. Golden State's got a phenomenal role and bench. I mean, that's what is important to me about them. That's what I'll remember about their dynasty. I'll have my prediction on Golden State and Toronto. Toronto is just a bunch of hungry dudes that just get it. They play hard, they work hard, and they are some guys that have been developed like a Siakam, like a Van Fleet, right? Kawhi's insane. He's great. But you've got other guys that just find ways to get it done, and I appreciate that about him as well. We're here at the Blur Party Tent. Blurparties.com. Log on, get your passes for the CWS ahead of the Royals and Tigers. We'll wind down hour one with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We got a phenomenal setup here. Blur Party Tent here just across from TD Ameritrade Park. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and Elijah Herbal. There's lots of blue in the Blur Party Tent. Those are incredible-looking baked beans on the grill right now. Is some beautiful brats, hamburgers. We got the grill smoke wafting through, and beer, and Crown, and Captain, and the U.S. Open. It's all happening here at the Blur Party Tent, just outside the opening gate of TD Ameritrade Park. I just whacked Lexi with a stool here. My fault there, Lexi. As Colton and Elijah are back in studio, I'm outside enjoying phenomenal weather and grill smells and sounds and sights of the ballpark. Just happy, man, to be out on the road here on a Thursday, Roadshow Thursday. the Blur Party Tent. Get to Blur for your College World Series destination pre- and post-game for the greatest show on dirt. That'll be outstanding. Great stuff from Jerry DiNardo. That entire interview has been posted on ESPNLincoln.com, the on-demand, and for sure, Colton and Elijah will have some of the highlights of that chopped up here on SoundCloud for you. But Coach DiNardo, very real with drug use and the responsibility of a head coach, and testing what needs and what should happen when it comes to testing, like what Coach had to say about that. Blair Kirchhoff is coming up, longtime rider with the Kansas City Star. We'll talk the Nebraska baseball job. We'll get Blair's take on the CWS and for sure the Royals. No Alex Gordon tonight. Alex is out with a pinched nerve in his back after getting hit by a pitch. So it is devastating for him to not be here for his home state crowd. And what a good setup it is for the, well, the world of Major League Baseball to see the great state of Nebraska. So George Brett is, he is on hand. I reached out to some friends who work with the Royals to let King George know the invite is here. He wants to sit down. I'll get him a beach nut or red man, pour him a beer, and we can talk about taking on the Yankees in the 70s. George was my guy. Reminder to you to buckle up. And when you're traveling along, be sure to buckle that safety belt. You want the windshield or the seat belt to stop your forward motion. Seat belts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down. That includes whether you're in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, or the back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Brandon Vogel next hour. And we'll also spend some more time on the NBA Finals. Game number 6 tonight. Does Toronto close it out? Does Golden State live another day? St. Louis is still drinking out of the cup, I think. I think St. Louis is still partying as the Blues got it done. And the best part of yesterday with that, aside from it being a Game 7 and an amazing sport like hockey, was John Kerensky and Jenna Fisher from The Office, Jim and Pam, what was trolled on Twitter by Jim as old Roy got to sit in Pam's seat last night. Hey, got a seat for you, Pam. I got a seat for you here, Jenna. Well, it ends up her ex-fiance, Roy, was sitting there having a beer. That was too good. That was classic Jim prank. Blair Kirchhoff's next hour, too, here from the Blur Party Tent outside TD Ameritrade with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, ahead of the Royals and Tigers, the first Major League game ever in the state of Nebraska. We welcome in a fabulous writer with the Kansas City Star, at Blair Kirchhoff, is where you follow Blair on Twitter. Blair, big night, man. Exciting times for the state of Nebraska. Really awesome that the Royals and Tigers and Major League Baseball are doing this neutral site spot to kick off the CWS. How are you feeling? You've covered baseball a long time. What do you think of the atmosphere and the meaning tonight?
Well, I'm glad it's happening. I think it's a fantastic idea. And you know, if you've been just even a casual fan of baseball over the last few years, you've seen MLB do things like this, taking major league games to, I've seen them take them to military bases, you know, to the Little League World Series area, and now College World Series. It's Major League Baseball promoting the sport of baseball, which is a smart idea. And glad to see it happening. And the Royals should be the team that plays the first major league game in Omaha. Look, I've been to Omaha enough to know that that they're in Nebraska enough to know there are fans of many teams there throughout the Midwest and nationally. But it's neat that that Royals are the first team to play a Major League Baseball game there.
It is awesome, and the atmosphere is going to be great. And with Major League Baseball and it leading into the College World Series opening ceremonies, Blair, you've covered a ton of College World Series in your time, and it just meshes well. It's nice for both entities to work together, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just a couple of regrets. I wish the Royals were better, and the Tigers. I wish this was a better. And, if you're for a first game, it kind of doesn't matter whether the teams are good or not. And the Royals certainly are not good this year, struggling mightily right now. And I wish Interstate 29 was right, fully functioning. I don't believe it's open. So because of the flooding. So there'll be an issue for camp fans from Kansas City heading up that way for this game and for the College World Series. There's always a large contingent of fans from here that head up to Omaha this time of year. But other than that, I'm glad it's fantastic that it's happening, and I can't wait to see the highlights. It was when this game was scheduled a year ago, I was up there for the press conference at the stadium, and I just marked it on my calendar that this is a can't miss for me. But other things have happened, and there's some other events going on in Kansas City tonight that I have to attend. So I've got it taped. I can't wait to see the scene. And to see Alex Gordon see the ovation he'll get when he comes to the plate for the first time tonight.
Blair Kirkhoff with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Kansas City Star at Blair Kirkhoff on Twitter. Let's spend a minute on Alex right now, around 275 average wise, 10 bombs, nearing that 40 RBI number. You project out over the course of the year, really solid. You're hovering around that 280 mark, potentially 20 home runs, 80 RBI, and Alex kind of looks like Alex of old, doesn't he?
He does. His first 6 weeks were fantastic. He's cooled off a little bit since then, but changed his stance a little bit, tweaked some things, has a different approach at the plate. He's not striking out as much as he used to. I think that's a big factor in his success. He's the Royals' career leader in strikeouts, but he's really cut back. Even though the team is striking out more, he is striking out less. So I think that's been a factor in his improved play this year. He's still the Gold Glove left fielder that he's always been. So yes, he is having a really nice season, and it's cool for him to be able to go and play a game in Omaha in his home state. He's making a lot of money. He's in the midst of a big contract for the Royals, the richest contract ever paid for a Kansas City player, and there may be a decision that has to be made here pretty soon on him. And he's a 5'10" man, which means he can veto any trade conversation. He has said to reporters here that he wants to finish his career in Kansas City. I can't see him in another team's uniform, but I guess you'd say that about any player who has spent as much time with one team as Gordon has with the Royals. I suspect when it's all said and done, he will he will play out his career here in Kansas City.
And that's the feeling and the sentiment. That said, if someone needs a left-handed bat that's phenomenal in the field for a playoff run, you can always come back.
No, that's right. And as we've seen in baseball and other sports too, he absolutely could come back. And even if it was just ceremonially, he could come back and retire
right
as a member of the Royals. But I don't know what would happen. I don't know what's in his heart about the Royals are, I think, 21-46. So it is really a dismal season. It's not going to be fun around here. After the All-Star break, they're going to call up a bunch of kids. I think Bubba Starling, I think, will be on the Major League roster here this season. So they're going to have to use this opportunity over the final few months to look at other players, see what they've got. And, Alex Gordon, with the season he's having, would have some value for sure. And I think he could play another couple of years and be part of perhaps the next wave of success in Kansas City, whenever that's going to happen. But some unknown swirling around him now.
Blair Kirkhoff, a few more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Blair, we'll get into some college football in a minute. Darren Erstad, since we've last talked, has resigned. And Bill Moose trying to go 3-for-3 with a big-time hire. Thumbs up on Frost and the mayor. And Rob Childress no longer in consideration. And that would have been phenomenal if Bill Moose could have landed Rob, as great as he was for Nebraska before going down to A&M. Will Bolt's name is up. I'm just wondering, what's your take on the Nebraska job? Because you've seen Nebraska at their best in Omaha.
I have, for sure. And it was a sight to behold. It was old Rosenblatt never rocked the way it did when Nebraska, and then to some extent when Creighton was there as well. So those were great times. And it just seemed like when Alex Gordon, when Jabba Chamberlain, when guys like that were coming through, that the program was to a point where I don't know if you could expect Omaha every year, but you'd expect to compete for Omaha every year. And of course, that didn't happen. And it's been sort of trying to regain its footing for more than a decade. And it looked like, with Darren Erstad, they were on that path and making the NCAA tournament. That was great to see, and to get a win in the NCAA tournament this year. I was surprised by the decision of Darren Erstad to step down. I thought he was had the ideal profile to be Nebraska's coach, but it's not what he wanted at this time. So, wish him all the best, and hope he gets what he wants. He's a terrific person, and I thought he was a fine coach. So, yeah, it's. Especially with Michigan qualifying for the College World Series this year, you just kind of understand that it can happen. Big Ten schools can get to the College World Series, and the climate doesn't seem to be as big a factor as we used to make it out to be back in the day. That you can get there from the Big Ten, and look, nobody cares about their sports like Nebraska fans do. So I think with the right hire, the right approach, that Nebraska baseball can return to the level. It has the opportunity to return to the levels that we saw it, 15 years ago or so.
Blair, let's talk about the old Big 8 / Big 12. College football season's around the corner, and there's been talk by Coach Frost, there's been talk by Bill Moose about wanting to schedule games and teams from the old Big 12 or Big 8. Nebraska's got Colorado as they wrap up a home-and-home. This year in Boulder, there'll be future games with the Buffs. Oklahoma, Nebraska celebrating the game of the century. They'll do a home-and-home starting 2021-2022. So that's fantastic. I don't know if A&M or Texas are on the line, but that'd be a lot of fun. But how about Kansas, Kansas State, Missouri, and even Iowa State with Coach Campbell out there? That'd be pretty big time. Is it something that, yes, it's nice to talk about, but do you think moving forward it can actually get done? It'd be a lot of fun to see the Mad Hatter up here with the Jayhawks.
I bet. Football schedules are done so far in advance that it's crazy now that you get schools announcing opponents in 2030s.
Right.
Here recently, look, you're really speaking to the choir here. I would love to see Kansas State and Nebraska with a football series. I wish Nebraska would have a permanent spot on their non-conference schedule, in September for an old Big 8 opponent, and rotate it among, KU, Missouri, Iowa State, K-State, especially those schools. That's too much to ask. But to me, it's not too much to ask in basketball, in men's basketball. And I think that, especially with Fred Hoiberg now at who knows the schools and knows the coaches, has relationships with everybody in the Big 12, that it might be easier to get it done, and it's always easier to get scheduling done in men's hoops than it is in football anyway, that you might see more of that. And we know that Kansas and Nebraska have played and had a home and home in men's basketball. And Kansas has played Colorado in men's basketball, so they have reached out. Missouri's the ones who KU won't play, but I would absolutely. And we know Nebraska plays a lot of these schools in other sports, non-revenue sports, because of the ease of travel, and it just makes sense to play schools that are close to you in the Olympic sport. So if it can get done in football, everybody would love it. They would be big TV games as well as well-attended games. And this is something that college sports has to think about, attendance at its games. I think if Nebraska played in Manhattan or Lawrence, we know that, 10,000 to 15,000 Nebraska fans would be there, but I think it would also excite the local fans as well. And at a time when colleges are thinking more and more about putting butts in seats, I think you should think about the types of matchups that fans would want.
That just makes too much sense. You're going to have folks in Lawrence. You're going to have folks in Manhattan. Folks that travel to Columbia. Folks are going to go to Norman. I think Bill Moose bringing the Red Army out to Boulder. I mean, I think you're going to see 30,000 Nebraska fans find and descend on Colorado.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean,
they'll have more fans there than Colorado fans, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Especially with Colorado coming off a poor season. And hey, I haven't given up hope for a Nebraska game at Arrowhead.
Was that not a blast against me? I was in college when it happened, but 98 was the year, and that was a good Oklahoma State team. And thank the stars, if you're a Nebraska fan, for Mike Rucker and Mike Brown at the goal line.
Right. And of course, for that to happen, someone would have to give up, their home game.
Right.
Nebraska's not giving up a home game for that, but. But I think it could happen. I don't see why, maybe it's not an old Big 8 opponent, but it's a Mountain West or a Conference USA using Kansas. It would be a big money game for a school like that to use Kansas City as a home game and home gate for them.
If you could get Missouri and Nebraska at Arrowhead, that'd be a party. That'd be incredible. It's been 100 years since it happened, but Arrowhead. Florida State, Bobby Bowden got scared by Iowa State. Wasn't that 20 years ago almost? I mean,
That was
big time.
Seneca Wallace.
Yeah,
yep.
Seneca was great. Blair Kirchhoff with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Kansas City Star at Blair Kirchhoff on Twitter. Blair, last thought here, and I know you're covering the Big 12 and you're covering the SEC with Missouri, Kansas State. A thought on the Big 10 as you see it. Do you see the league a little bit deeper, a little bit stronger this year? The thoughts and projections are that Nebraska is going to win the West, that by Phil Steele this week. They'll meet Michigan in the Big Ten title game. But overall, the West division is better. But man, there's so many coin flip games. Do you think Nebraska will be better at one score games this season, year two under Frost?
Yeah, I do. I don't think there's any doubt that they'll be better. I think that Nebraska would have had a better record last year if only the opener hadn't gotten weathered out
right.
Like it did. I think that changed the dynamic of the season for the Huskers. Things would have gotten ironed out sooner, and and then of course the injury against Colorado. So I do think this is. I think it was a 4-8 team last year that absolutely was better than that. That analytics would tell you was by the end of the season was more of a bowl type team mm-hmm. than it wasn't. So yeah, I'm bullish on Nebraska. I went back in March and April, I'm doing college football previews for Street and Smith's, and I have to pick a preseason top 25, even though I'm just doing the Big 12. And and so I was starting to look at other people's preseason top 25s, and Nebraska was in everybody's, somewhere between 15 and 25, somewhere in that final 10. And I thought, wow, nationally, Nebraska's getting a lot of respect. So I suspect Nebraska will start the year in the top 25 and have a chance to work its way up. And I agree with you. I think the Big Ten as a conference will produce a lot of competitive games this year. I just don't think there's a room from the top to the bottom is not great. So I just think we're going to see a lot of competitive games. I think Nebraska has a coaching edge. And you look at Scott Frost and year two of what he did at Central Florida. If I'm a Nebraska fan, I'm pretty optimistic about this team this season.
Blair, thanks so much. Great to talk Royals and Huskers, and we'll do this again. Thanks for your time, bud.
Hey, have fun tonight.
And we're back.
Fellas, I think we could
Listen to the radio.
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you here, Roadshow on Thursday with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel, as we are just outside the gate of TD Ameritrade Park. The Blur party tent is amazing. We have flat screens. We have a cold pool. There's a hammock. There's burgers galore on, well, I'm just going to say it. The grill is as big as my kitchen table. And folks are in line for brats and burgers and cold drinks, and you can still join if you're heading this way before the Royals and Tigers get rolling. BlurParties.com can get a pass to get in, but be sure to be here next week for the College World Series. We welcome in a baseball connoisseur as well as football expert Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how's your Thursday, man? I shouldn't be getting paid.
not too bad. Baseball connoisseur might be strong. I'd reserve that for the Mike Babcocks of the world, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
Okay, I'm staring at a guy with a Zambrano jersey. Okay. Okay. I'm not going to go as far as to say you had a Zambrano jersey, but I will go as far as to say that you thought about getting one.
I did. I have a Zambrano autograph card on my bookshelf right now that I bought off of eBay. A big Z fan over the years. Just the whole package. He was pretty wild. He was pretty good most of the time. He'd hit a home run for you every now and again. But yeah, when the news came out earlier this year that he was considering a comeback, I didn't believe it, but I was all for it.
Dude, what could have been, right? Again, a lapsed yep. Cubs fan here. But you had Zambrano, you had Pryor, you had Wood.
Yeah.
And that dirty, elastic arm, Kevin Tapany.
I will never forget. I was living in Boston when that pitching staff was coming together, and one of the guys that I hung out with at the time, who was a huge Red Sox fan, essentially said to me, he's like, "We're not talking Cy Young with Mark Pryor. We're talking Cy Youngs." And I was like, "Yes." But obviously we were not.
Mechanics. I saw Pryor pitch in Omaha when he was with SC, and you've got the College World Series cranking up here. I mean, I am a cutoff throw from you to me, brother, from the greatest show on dirt that you'll see on ESPN 1,000 times. What's this mean to you? You're a Nebraskan. You're a proud Nebraskan. We'll get into football in a minute. But you've got ESPN here. You've got Major League Baseball in downtown Omaha, and you got the CWS cranking up Saturday. This is special, man, for everyone who grew up in the state.
Yeah, it meant a lot to me, even though, you know, I grew up 7 hours from Omaha. I was not there yearly by any means. You know, I probably went two or three times when I was a young kid. But, like, having that moment of when, like, the world kind of looked at Nebraska and said, oh, yeah, the College World Series, that's where it always is, meant a lot to me. Even though it wasn't something that I could partake in all the time, like, just having it was kind of a sense of state pride and thus a sense of personal pride.
You nailed it. It is a source of pride. And a lot of Royals fans here in line for burgers. Vogues, good stuff today from not only ESPN, the Football Power Index coming out, Nebraska in at 23, the coaches' rankings. We had fun with that the first hour. Coach DiNardo didn't pick a favorite, but was pretty good about rattling off three or four guys. Listen, I took Frost off the table because Nebraska fans, and rightly so, love Scott Frost and think he's going to do big things. If you drafted a coach, who would it be? Okay, Urban's gone, right? So who's next in line for that throne? if you take Frost off the table. And let's just, for argument's sake, take Frost off the table. Not that he's been crowned yet, but you think the upside's going to be fantastic. Who do you take? I picked D'Antonio just because of who he's beat, how long he's done it. And I think they got a little bit too fluffy with some of the star recruits. They're back to three-star blue-collar badasses, and I think Michigan State's going to be your 9-3 at worst here moving forward. I picked him. I think Fitzgerald, people get sick of the Northwestern love, but I think he's done a hell of a job. Begrudgingly, Ferentz, because the guy puts dudes into the NFL and they develop. So I think you got an amazing conference of coaches. You have Frost and you have Brohm that are ready to take that next step and start getting some blue blood pelts. And I don't like Franklin's management, and I think he inherited some good and some bad. He inherited Saquon Barkley, but he also inherited Penn State post Joe Pa. Who do you go with first if you're drafting?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of it depends on how long do you think you have, and like what program are you at? With taking all of that out of it, my pick's probably Fitzgerald. So if you assume you're at a power program, quote unquote, a program that has traditionally more success than Northwestern, I think what he's done at Northwestern is amazing. His record in close games is statistically very unlikely, and I still don't know exactly what it says about him, but and just the overall demeanor of like, yeah, I'm all about playing good football and putting good football teams on the field. I think that translates almost anywhere you're going to go. So if I were drafting first without knowing some other details, he's probably my number one pick.
I think that's fair. And I think the point you nailed with winning close games, that guy just does it, doesn't he? I mean, he does it against Nebraska. He's within a score whenever they play Ohio State, it seems like. It's incredible. Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. We're here. The Blur Party tent can log on blurparties.com and get a pass to get in ahead of the Royals and Tigers, but get signed up for Blur for your College World Series extravaganza Saturday and beyond. Next week, we'll be back up here on Tuesday. Can't wait for it. So, Vogues, we have the tailgate set up. We've talked baseball. We've gotten into Nebraska football a little bit. ESPN has put out their college football kind of power rankings, right? They're hedging their bets and projecting some success. And when it comes to the future power rankings, the FPR, Clemson's one, Bama's two. Stop me if you've heard that before. But you have Sparty in at 22, Northwestern in at 25, Nebraska in at 23. What's your take on Nebraska this soon cracking that top 25? I mean, for it's felt like years Nebraska's been absent from this thing.
Yeah, I honestly thought they would be a little bit higher. You know, I thought maybe like 18, 19 might be where Nebraska comes in. But the 23 is right in that range and makes a ton of sense. Like in many ways, that it being a little bit lower is probably pretty fair because, you know, when we see the sort of non-analytics-based rankings, you know, people are sky high on Frost. They, you know, and I agree with that. I think he has a very high ceiling as a head coach. But what you can prove about Nebraska right now, which is what those future power rankings are in most ways, is not a lot. Just because, well, this is his fourth season, and two of those seasons have been huge rebuilds. Year one at UCF and year one at Nebraska. Year two was amazing, and that earns you something. But there's still a lot to be sorted out for Nebraska. I'm bullish about them in 2019. But there's just still a lot of uncertainty there because you don't have a very big sample size. So 23 feels pretty fair.
Vogues, and we'll kind of wrap with this, and thanks for your time today. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter and HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Question for you. do we have a grasp? Can we have a grasp of just what Frost walked into? I mean, we talked to Makovica earlier in the week, and he's like, you know, by year 4 and 5, the depth and the physicality and the lines of scrimmage will be where Nebraska kind of used to be, because that's how Scott's going to build. And I mean, and that's how you're going to win in the Big Ten, and that's how you're going to stack up against Clemson, and that's how you're going to stack up against Bama, like big picture, once go to a title bout, right? Has he just let loose ever? And I know he's it feels like he sniped a little bit at the previous staff. I think he's just being honest. Do we know how far away that they are or they were when he walked into this? Do we truly have a sense of that at all?
No, I don't think so. And it's funny you ask that, because I was literally just thinking about that like an hour ago. You know, it'd be really interesting to ask some coaches, some Big Ten coaches who were around in 2017, and they can do this anonymously if that's what gets you the best answer, but just say to them, like, what was that Nebraska team in the back half of 2017? Like, what did you, as a professional person who was in football, who's made that your life's work, see from them, both talent-wise, buy-in, all that stuff? And I think you would get at least some of those people to give you an answer on that. But I don't think we fully know what the real starting point was for when this staff showed up, basically in January, when they were able to be on the job full time. And it's a really, really interesting question.
It's an interesting question, and about 90 seconds here. I think you had some talent. You had some NFL folks here. And I think you've got guys that have coached successfully for a while. I think he had an NFL mentality when it comes to kind of hands off, go do your thing. When if you got a team full of Amir Abdullahs and Jeremiah Searles, that's okay. But if it's like you or me trying to get up for English 101 when we were 19, you know, it's rolling the dice. That's where I think it was. I think from an accountability standpoint and a fear of being really punished and losing the ability to play football, it was absent.
Yeah, and I think it's hard at Nebraska to like really measure the bottom, because the highs were so high, and Nebraska's always going to carry some weight no matter what state the program's in because of what it's been. And you know, I think when you look at sort of like the preseason projections for those Mike Riley teams, you know, they were probably all inflated a little bit based on just the actual talent that Nebraska had on hand, because it was Nebraska. And I think that happens all over the country. I think it's happening with Texas right now, even though they had a very good season last year. When you look at what comes back, it's hard to make a case based on past precedent for them to be sort of a top 10 team. Like, they just lost a lot. And I think that always happens with teams that are historically good. And I think it kind of keeps us from knowing exactly where things were when this staff took over.
Vogues, we're up against it. You're awesome. Great take. We'll talk Saturday. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
All right. Thank you.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Hey, we're back here at the Blur Party tent just across from TD Ameritrade Park. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel, Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow Thursday. That was insane. That was so much fun talking with Vogel and Blair Kirchhoff this hour. Jerry DiNardo's a can't miss on what should happen with drug testing in college football in hour one. Can log on ESPNLincoln.com. We've got a few Red Sox and Cleveland fans here, and that's pretty good. A lot of Nebraska fans here to see the Royals. No Alex Gordon tonight. Has a pinched nerve in his back after being hit by a pitch. We'll be back up here at the Blur Party Tent on Tuesday for the College World Series. We want to see you up here in Omaha with Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln and our friends around the state that carry Hail Varsity Radio. Tomorrow we are at Zipline ahead of the College World Series festivities in Omaha. So we are taking time along that I-80 corridor to spread the glorious state baseball spectacle. And what a good facility here at TD, as pro baseball is alive and well in Nebraska for the first time. So I'm looking here behind, and we've got the grill master going. This grill is probably about 6 feet long, and there's just a tray of brats that got done. And, man, he's just putting brat on top of brat on top of brat. There's hamburgers. There's some coleslaw. There's a cold Coors. There's a Miller. There's some Captain that Coach Brett's not immune to. And we'll talk some NBA Finals here. And, you know, I would like to see this thing go seven. Part of me feels like, okay, Golden State kind of did the impossible after the Durant injury. Part of me feels like that they found a way, and it was an incredible rally, 9-0 run to take the lead and hang on. I just don't know that Golden State can get enough from Boogie, from Iggy, and pick some of their role guys. I don't know that Golden State has it. And now you're going to get energy and bum from Oracle, truly the last rodeo there. I guess give me Golden State, but give me that number's naughty. I mean, it's -2.5. Was it 4? Give me Golden State to win. I get, and to me, it's a pick 'em. I mean, Toronto should be favored, even though it's on the road. They're 2-0. I'm going to bring in Colton Stone, Elijah Herbel. Fellas, what's your take? And maybe Elijah bounced out. But, Colton, you start us off. Where are you leaning tonight? Does Golden State have one more in them? I mean, pressure-wise, if Golden State gets it done tonight, then you're really feeling it if you're Toronto. That said, I don't know how much gas is in that tank. It's not for lack of want to. It's just a fact of reality that I think you've got a deeper, fresher team in Toronto. What do you think happens? I'm going to go Golden State just because I want to see a game seven, but I don't know that it happens.
Okay, well, Elijah's not here, but he said the Warriors will push it to seven. And I'm in the same boat, and the reason is you look at the last performance that Curry had when he scored 47 points, but they lost. And I think what they're getting back is a healthier Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
They're getting, you know, they are relying a lot, not so much on Boogie, but they're relying a lot on role players that, you know, were factors throughout the season. But with Kevin Durant, you don't really have to lean on a Sean Livingston. You don't lean on a Quinn Cook or a Kevin Looney. You're kind of just like, hey, if they get 8 points, we're good. But if they don't, you know,
okay,
Durant's going to get 35, so we're fine. And then you've got two snipers and Thompson and Curry. But with Durant out, I mean, you're leaning a lot more on guys that are only scoring 4 to 6 points a game. So, I mean, I think the Warriors have enough. I think the home crowd pushes them through it. But if they go back to Toronto for game seven, I don't know. I don't know what kind of fuel is left in the tank for these guys. But if they're playing for KD, I could see it.
You know, I think you're right, and I don't know that Game 7 is going to be one that's memorable if there is a Game 7. Mm. But the point of getting it to a Game 7 when you're down 3-1 is remarkable. And it'd be interesting because that was like wheelhouse era for Junior when he was in this love affair with Durant in Oklahoma City, right? They're up 3-1. He actually got to go to Game 4. Junior did. Mm-hmm. Grandpa bribed somebody and they went and
poached some tickets.
It was incredible, and he was able to sneak down to the front row because it was such a blowout in Game 4. And high five Durant, right? I mean, you get to like see the dude rolling off the court for the last time as a Thunder player, not knowing. And I mean, it's something that's burned into his memory forever. I look at this situation where you'll probably get maximum effort by Boogie. Can Boogie do it back-to-back games, Colton? That's where I'm going, I guess. I mean, Boogie needs to rebound, score, assist. I think Draymond will be fine. The fact that, I mean, and I think Klay and Curry can combine for 20, you know, 50 to 60. at a high efficiency. That was what was beautiful. And Curry wore down. He was D'ing his ass off against Van Fleet and Lowry, and he had no shots falling. About five or six in a row he missed, and then he hit two of the three threes on that 9-0 run. I think Thompson's good, and Thompson's very good defensively. He doesn't get worn down as much. I think the Splash Brothers combine for, hell, I'm going to say 70 tonight, and they get it done. Draymond will help distribute, and you won't need Boogie, and you won't need Iggy to have big scoring games, but they can't be just turnover machines. And Livingston, I know that guy's long and lean and athletic, and he's physical, but he's a turnover machine. That guy needs to keep it under two turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Iggy and Boogie, specifically, because those are, two guys that jump out right away as guys that need to have good games, but not
necessarily.
They're kind
of X-factors.
Yeah,
aren't they?
But they need good games, but they don't necessarily need, like, game-altering performances. Right. But at the same time, like, if Boogie gets 8 boards and 12 points or 6 boards and 12 points, you'll probably live with it. You'll get a triple-double or nearly a triple-double from Draymond. Mm-hmm. Iggy, maybe double digits, but nothing like crazy, just as, support. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to need probably 35 from Curry and 25 to 30 from Klay to make it a clean-cut win.
Quick reminder about your friends at Sauter Heyman. It is Dad's weekend, Father's Day. Go find Dad, or if you are a dad, go pick out that timepiece that you need and you want. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln. We're out west in Grand Islands where you go to Sauter Heyman. You can log on sauterheyman.com. Interest-free financing options available. And you can find Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today for Dad's Day. And a Father's Day weekend that Rick can help you make your dad smile about. A quick timeout at the Blur Party Tent next to TD Ameritrade ahead of the Royals Tigers. We'll wind it down after this on Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time here from the Blur Party Tent. It is jam-packed across from TD Ameritrade Park. There is burgers and brats on the grill. There are folks patiently waiting in line, and the tunes are cranked up. There's food and drink galore. You want to come to Blur, it's real easy, blurparties.com. We thank Stacy and the crew for having us out ahead of the Royals and Tigers. We'll be here Tuesday ahead of the College World Series. Back up tomorrow to kick off the CWS over at our friends with Zipline and the Old Market. And it is incredible. You get food and drink and fun, and they have bean bags going on. They have beer pong. It's impressive. They've got a giant setup of Jenga. There's a hammock. And it's 75 and sunny, and the breeze is perfect. They're playing some Jimmy Buffett. They were anyway. It's great. And then there's the cold tub. I kid you not. They got a cold tub here, and then they got, it's like you're out at the pool. They got the lounge chairs. My shirt's on, Colton. Just making sure you know that, not to freak anyone out. We will be back on the road tomorrow. Excited about that. Blur is awesome. And here's what a little birdie told me about Blur. Are you going to the Colorado game? We're all shaking our head in the state. Yes, we're going to invade Colorado. Blur will be out there for a little birdie. And they are going to shut down a street in Boulder. And they are going to throw the mother of all parties to get you, the Nebraska fan, ready, willing, able, and locked in. As Texas Tech's bus is just rolling up. Nice. But yeah, think about that. Blurparties.com. On the road. Boulder. Nebraska. See you. Get it done. 466-377-6800 825-5865. Numbers to get in. Can send an email. Many thanks to Coach DiNardo. Good stuff. You want to hear that interview with him on drug testing and drug policy in college football. Also, his take on the coaches in the Big Ten. You want to hear Brandon Vogel about gauging Nebraska when you talk about, you know, what's good for Nebraska. Do we really know? And Vogel nailed it. Nebraska's highs were so high. 60-3. Blair Kirchhoff, Kansas City Star. Great thoughts on the Royals and the College World Series. And I want to remind you about Madonna Proactive. I know summer's kicked off. 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln is where Madonna Proactive is at. 402-420-0000. It's where you can dial them up or can log on madonnaproactive.org. But they have a summer setup that is second to none. It's big time. And they've got an outdoor resort for you. You have kids. Get that membership knocked out. Get it handled. It's a great place to take the family to go swim, relax. And it's also a setup for you when you save $50 for the summer membership when you join by June 15th. 2 days left to do it. You can log on madonnaproactive.org. That's going to do it for us from the Blur Party Tent. We want to see you up here Saturday and throughout the weekend for the CWS and beyond. Blur Parties, Boulder, Colorado. They'll be there. You be there. Colton, you're awesome. Thanks, Elijah. Chris Schmidt signing off here from TD Ameritrade across the street with the Blur Party Tent. Talk to you tomorrow on Hail Varsity.